5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
International Rescue are back on Radio 5.
Thunderbirds are go.
As far as I can see, London, nothing can save us short of a miracle.
Thunderbird 1, FAB.
Look, there are 600 people up there with about 40 minutes to live.
As I thought, International Rescue are arriving on the scene.
You called, m'lady?
Yes, Parker. Get the Rolls Royce.
Fireflash, overshoot, overshoot. We're not going to make it. We're running out of runway.
Whatever happens, keep this frequency clear.
Tonight's episode, Trapped in the Sky, introduced by Thunderbird's mastermind, Gerry Anderson.
After the last war, I was conscripted into the Royal Air Force and was given a routine intelligence test. My marks were so low that I was given the option of joining the military police or working in a cookhouse. Later, I was interviewed by the education officer. He asked me what I did in Civvy Street, and I told him I worked in a film cutting room. "And your wage?" he asked snootily. £10 a week, sir," I replied. "That's about £300 in today's money." Judging by his reaction, it was obvious that my wage was higher than his. And after a lot of humming and ahhing, he agreed to allow me to go to RAF Cranwell to train as a radio telephone operator. And so I became involved in air traffic control and fell in love with all things to do with flying. I remember an aircraft coming to land with its wheels still up. Luckily, it was warned off just as it was about to touch down. And I will never forget a Mosquito aircraft that was giving an aerobatic display, crashing and blowing up. Some years later, when I was working on pre-production of Thunderbirds, I recall those two incidents, and together they helped me form the basic idea for the first episode. It's about an aircraft that couldn't land because it had a bomb in its undercart. And so it was trapped in the sky.
It was International Rescue's first operation. John called from the space monitor, Thunderbird 5, and Father called us together in the lounge to tell us the news. The Fireflash, a giant new atomic-powered aircraft with 600 passengers on board, was in distress at London Airport. Someone had placed a bomb in the landing gear before takeoff. As soon as the Fireflash touched down, the explosives would smash the atomic reactor and blow the aircraft to pieces. And what's more, Tintin was on board, on her way to join the International Rescue Team.
I don't understand it. Something must be wrong. We're losing height.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? We have developed a minor technical fault and are returning to London. Please fasten your safety belts.
Say, you're right. Oh, but I guess it's nothing to worry about.
Well, I hope not. It's a very long way down from here.
What are we going to do?
I don't know. We can't reach the bomb. We can't land. And if we stay up here, we get radiation exposure. Whichever way you look at it, we don't stand a chance.
They haven't got a chance. We've just got to sit here and wait for them to die.
London Tower from Fireflash. Now circling at 30,000 feet. Radiation safety factor now 2 hours. As far as I can see, London, nothing can save us short of a miracle.
That's just what you might get.
Okay, boys, that's the brief. It's our first assignment, so make it good. As you know, your uniforms are in your craft and must only be worn on call.
Right, Father.
Okay, Father.
Sure thing, Dad.
Yeah, Father.
Okay, Scott, away you go. And keep in touch.
Yes, sir.
Well, Brains, your phenomenal mind made all this possible. Now you're going to see it in operation.
Well, good luck, Scott.
Take it easy, Scott.
So I got onto the revolving panel that leads to Thunderbird 1, and I glided along the moving floorway to the door of the nose cone. But once I was in the pilot seat, I pushed the button that prepared the craft for launching. When Thunderbird 1 was sliding down the ramp into the launch pad, I knew that above me, the basin of the swimming pool was moving across to leave the gap above the launching area. Once I got there, I fired the motors, and Thunderbird 1 surged upwards into the daylight.
International Rescue Space Station. This is Thunderbird 1. Give me the lowdown, John.
Thunderbird 1 from Space Station. They're trying to dislodge the bomb by aerobatics, but they're not having much success.
But from what you say, John, we're the only ones that can save them. We better bring up our heavy equipment. It looks like we're going to need it.
I'll contact Father on the TV portrait.
Go ahead, Scott.
I'll be arriving at London Airport in 52 minutes. But it looks like I'll need heavy rescue.
Okay, Scott. I'll organize that right away. Virgil, away you go.
Right, Father.
Well, Virgil went down to the heavy rescue hangar by the chute that drops him right into his chair in the cabin of Thunderbird 2. And while a massive cliff face was dropping away to reveal a hangar entrance, the pods containing the rescue machinery were slipping along the conveyor belt. When pod 3 had arrived under the aircraft, the tall legs of Thunderbird 2 retracted, and the craft sank on top of it. Then Virgil rolled his machine forward to its ramp. Fired the rockets. And in seconds, he was airborne, on his way to join me. But by now, I was well on my way to London Airport. In the rescue business, speed is all important, and my Thunderbird is capable of reaching phenomenal speeds. I guess in the London control tower, they could hardly believe their eyes when they picked me up on their radar screens.
Aircraft approaching from the east, height 2,500 feet. Speed 7.5 thousand miles per hour.
7.5 thousand miles an hour? Have you gone crazy?
London Tower, this is International Rescue. Fireflash is in trouble and we are equipped to help you.
Request permission to land.
International Rescue? What is this?
That must be the aircraft I just picked up.
This I must see. International Rescue, you are clear to land. Use runway 29.
Will not require runway. Coming in vertically.
London Tower from International Rescue. Now listen carefully. I want men and transport to take my portable equipment to your control tower, and I want an assurance from you that you will place guards on my aircraft to ensure that no photographs are taken.
International Rescue, please give me information about your organization. We cannot ground facilities without knowing more details.
Look, there are 600 people up there with about 40 minutes to live. Now, you can't help them, but I believe we can. Now, what's it going to be?
All right, International Rescue, but I just hope you know what you're doing.
I guess the airport controller knew that there was no time for argument. The situation was now desperate. Already one attempt to save Fireflash had been made. They had winched a man from another aircraft into the wing of the Fireflash in an attempt to dismantle a bomb. But when he got there, he lost his grip and fell out through the open hatch. The controller was as good as his word. In seconds, the runway was swarming with police cars that converged on Thunderbird 1. But somehow the saboteur, the guy who had put the bomb in the Fireflash, had got amongst them posing as a police officer and with a camera concealed in the badge of his cap.
As I thought, International Rescue are arriving on the scene. Part two of my plan about to commence.
let's recap. Fire Flash has another 30 minutes before its radiation safety factor expires.
Right.
Now, the specialized gear that I require for the rescue will be here in 20 minutes, leaving us just 10 minutes to put our rescue into operation. Thunderbird 2, this is Mobile Control.
Confirm estimated time of arrival, London Airport.
Okay, Scott. Arriving in 19 and one-half minutes from now.
Now, as soon as you arrive, unload high-speed elevator car with two radio control subsidiaries.
Then proceed to end of runway 29 and report.
Thunderbird 1, FAB.
Fireflash, this is International Rescue Mobile Control.
In approximately 18 minutes from now, I will request you to land using runway 29.
You are to come in with landing gear up. Repeat, landing gear up. Make a completely normal approach and keep your head.
Now, to make sure that no one takes photographs of Thunderbird 1. Except me, of course.
The automatic camera detector, quick! Someone's photographing the instrument panel of Thunderbird 1. It's imperative that you get this man and stop him.
Airport police, this is the control tower. Someone is taking photographs inside the International Rescue aircraft. Grab him and bring him in for questioning.
This is Thunderbird 2, approaching London Airport.
Okay, Virgil. You're clear to land. The airport is closed to all traffic during this emergency.
FAB, touching down on end of 29.
Tower from Airport Mobile Police. We have lost contact with pursued car. Vehicle was last seen turning onto M1, heading towards Birmingham.
Message received and understood. I'm sorry. We did our best.
Okay. Leave this to me.
Control calling International Rescue, England.
International Rescue. Lady Penelope speaking.
Require your assistance. Man with photographic records of Thunderbird 1 proceeding along M1 motorway in your direction. Car registration 695CMO. Over.
Mobile Control, FAB. Oh dear, how inconvenient. Just as I'm expecting visitors. Three coachloads, too. Oh, well.
You called, m'lady?
Yes, Parker. Get the Rolls Royce. We are going for a little drive.
So, Lady Penelope, with Parker at the wheel of her Rolls Royce Fab 1, speeded towards the motorway in hot pursuit. Before the fire flash, time was running out. The pilot's voice sounded grim when he radioed through to me in the airport control tower.
Mobile control from fire flash. We have only 5 minutes left. Unless you can stop rescue operation immediately. We've had it.
Stand by, fire flash. Thunderbird 2 from mobile control. Are you ready, Virgil?
Mobile control and fire flash. This is Thunderbird 2. I'm ready.
Virgil was seated at the controls of his master elevator car, which he drove out of the pod. Behind him came two other elevator trucks, which he could control by remote radio. Each of the three machines had a massive flat roof cushioned by powerful springs. When Virgil told me he was in position at the start of the runway, I radioed the Fire Flash pilot with final instructions.
Control to Fire Flash. Commence your approach, and good luck. After acknowledgement of this transmission, do not make any further calls. Whatever happens, Keep this frequency clear.
Roger, Control.
Starting approach now.
Aircraft approaching glide path 5 miles to threshold.
Stand by, Virgil. Fire flash on final approach.
Virgil waited in the master elevator car for me to give the final go-ahead. In the control tower, the radar operator was describing the fire flash's final approach.
Aircraft on glide path, 3.5 miles to threshold.
Stand by, crash tenders.
Crash tenders to center of runway 29.
Roger.
Stand by, Virgil. Fire flash 1.5 miles from threshold. 1.25 miles from threshold. 1 mile from threshold. Start tracking.
Mobile control, FAB.
Fire flash 700 yards from threshold. Airspeed 130 knots.
Increase to 108.
FAB.
As Virgil's three elevator trucks raced along beneath it, the fire flash dropped lower and lower. With utmost concentration, the entire team used all their skill and precision to bring the vehicles into exactly the right position for exactly the right moment.
Okay, fire flash, cut engines.
As the massive aircraft was about to rest on the trucks, a fault developed in one of them.
Fire flash, overshoot, overshoot.
Virgil backtracked to the starting point and brought out of the pod the fourth and last elevator car, and the whole operation was started again.
Okay, here we go. And this time, it's the last time.
Aircraft approaching glide path. 4 miles to threshold.
Stand by, Virgil. Fire flash on final approach.
Okay, Scott. Standing by.
On glide path. Rate of descent, 500 feet a minute. Aircraft on glide path, 3 miles to threshold.
Stand by, crash tenders.
Crash cruise to center of 29.
Runway ahead, 2 miles.
Fire flash, now 1 mile from threshold. Start tracking.
Mobile control, FAB.
Fire flash 500 yards from threshold. Airspeed 120 knots.
Increase to 105.
105. FAB.
So the mighty fire flash, with its crew and passengers of 600, came roaring down towards the runway. Ahead of it raced Virgil's three elevator cars. Gradually, the fire flash came into a position directly above the cars. One wing over each of the radio cars and a massive fuselage over Virgil's master car. With barely a yard separating the cars from the fire flash, Virgil shouted a command to the fire flash pilot.
Fire flash from Thunderbird 2. Cut engines.
The port wing of the fire flash suddenly dropped dangerously near the ground.
Lift port wing.
The engine sprang to life, and the wing rose just enough for the radio truck to race into position beneath it.
Cut power. Okay, fire flash, reverse thrust.
The fire flash was now totally supported by the three elevator cars. But by now, they were running out of runway.
I'm applying brakes down here.
Gonna make it. We're running out of runway.
Hold tight, fire flash. Applying maximum brakes.
The strain on the elevator cars was colossal. Were exploding. And finally, the master elevator car with Virgil inside it slewed off course. With a mighty bump, Fireflies dropped to the ground, and there was a terrific display of sparks as the aircraft scraped down the last few yards of runway. With only feet to go, the giant liner drew to a halt.
For a ghastly moment, we held our breath. Would the impact affect the bomb inside the wing? But all was well.
The bomb did not explode.
They made it. They made it. Jolly good show, old boy.
And what a show.
How can we ever thank you?
Well, I tell you, it's essential for the reason I explained to you that our organization remains top secret. I want you to contact your authorities and make sure that there are no aircraft within a 100-mile radius when we leave and their assurance that we will not be tracked. Whatever happens, secrecy must be maintained at all costs.
I'll do my best. But talking of secrecy, how about that character who photographed your aircraft?
Don't worry. You'll be taken care of.
We're closing in on him, m'lady.
Good, Parker. Wait till we get to a clear stretch of road. We don't want to create a scene.
Very good, m'lady.
Go ahead, Parker.
Yes, m'lady. Thank you, madam. Home, my lady?
Home, Parker.
It looked like that guy wasn't going to give us any more trouble. The roll of film containing the photograph secrets of International Rescue could not possibly survive that wreck.
My pictures. They are ruined. Someone will pay for this. International Rescue haven't heard the last of me.
You've been listening to Trapped in the Sky. Brought to you by Jerry Anderson with help from his fan club, Fanderson. The series was produced for Radio 5 by Christopher Aldridge. Coming up next week on Thunderbirds, End of the Road.
Eddie, can you hear me? No word for half an hour.
You better try again.
Eddie, this is Bob. Call in. Call in. Oh, God. I guess we'll have to...
Hi, Bob. This is Eddie. They've planted the charges.
Eddie! Then get out of there! That peak's cracking up! There'll be a landslide any minute!
And I guess I'd better fire the charges now.
You'll be too close! Get away from there! You kill yourself! The company isn't worth it! Eddie! Eddie, can you hear me? And he cut off! He cut off!
Next Monday, ETA 5 past 8 on Radio 5, FAB.